Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back here this morning, this Thursday morning. It's so good to have your company. And now for the next 30 minutes or so, we are going to be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. That's what we do at 9 a.m. Central Time here on Archangel Radio. We come together as a praying family. We bring all our woes, sufferings and troubles together and we pray for them. Now we pray for you. And each day in that, I'm accompanied by a prayer warrior, somebody who comes in, gives up their time and prays with me for you. So let's find out today, who is our prayer warrior?
In the studio with us today, Kevin, we have Mrs. Julie Jakeson with us.
Oh, Julie, welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be back.
It's very, very good to have your company. Whenever I hear that, the word Jakeson, I know we are in safe hands.
I hope so.
Are you keeping well?
I am. I'm keeping very well. How about you?
Never felt better, Julie.
Good.
Never felt better. Now that we're about to pray, that's the key thing, right?
Yes, I agree, Kevin. There's nothing more important than prayer.
But also, there's nothing which lifts the spirits more, is there?
Yes, that's correct. Yes. And, you know, when you're going through some tough times, prayer is just the best thing you can do. Pray.
It's the only thing.
Yes.
It's the only thing. As I say, don't get mad. Don't get even. Get praying.
Get prayer.
That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. So this is good. We've got Julie with me today. That's great. Now, she's part of the Jakeson family, which you will know. And I think they've all been on the show praying with me, and they are a wonderful, wonderful family. So you were in safe hands this morning with whatever your intentions are. There are two ways you can get Julie and me to pray for you, and they are as follows. Call the show on 888-928-0881, and Reed will take your call, either off her or you can come on her and speak to us. Or you can text the show on 251-928-2111, and we will be only too happy to pray for you. Now, we're about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which some of you may know, some of you may not. You may be listening, you're not even Catholic. That is fine. You can still be part of our little family here on air. Divine Mercy Chaplet was given by our Lord to an enclosed sister, Sister Faustina, back in the 1930s. And she propagated it, I guess, in the Polish church just before the Second World War. And then it sort of fell away a bit. But when John Paul II became Pope, suddenly it took off again. And it hasn't stopped since. I would say, I don't know if you agree with me, Julie, it's probably one of the fastest growing devotions in the church today.
Yes, I do agree with you, Kevin, very much so. More and more people are saying the Divine Mercy.
They are. And also, I don't know if this is happening in Alabama, but here in the UK, I'm seeing increasingly the Divine Mercy image in Catholic churches.
Yes, I am too. Yes.
It's one. It lifts my heart. I don't know about you.
Yep,
Julie.
My heart too.
This is great. Okay. Well, Julie, I'm assuming you have come fully armed for the task ahead.
I have.
Now, again, I better qualify that before somebody phones in worried we are about to bank rob or something. No, Julie is fully armed with a rosary because that's how we say it. We say it on the traditional rosary, which we use for the other prayer, which is predominant in Catholic Church, which is, of course, the Holy Rosary. But it's the same five decades, ten, you know, the usual. And that's what we use. So if you're a Catholic with a rosary, you're ready to roll. You're good to go, as they say. We're ready to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
I'm ready, Kevin.
Okay, Julie. You're ready.
I'm ready.
And the Lord is ready. So let's begin in the name of the Father,
and
of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Julie, thank you so much. We are up and running. So for this first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
I would like to pray for my family, Kevin, my husband Dan, and Kurt, Shelley, Allie, Gracie, Cindy, Ken, and Josh, Sherry, Jake, and Luke, and for my sister Valerie and my brother-in-law, Jim, who are on their way now from Fort Myers, Florida, with the contemplating moving here, and a safe trip for them.
Well, absolutely. Well, that's a wonderful prayer, Julie. Let's pray for all of these family members of the Jakeson family, extended and otherwise. And let's pray in particular for those family members that are thinking of moving. They're thinking of moving to the Mobile Fairhope area, are they?
They're, or Daphne, because that's where we live. So Daphne or Fairhope.
Oh, Daphne.
Yeah.
Daphne. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will guide them in that. Let's also ask St. Joseph. Do you not think St. Joseph's a great man for finding places to live, right? Think of the inn and all the rest of it with the Holy Family. So let's ask St. Joseph to guide and help this little family to make the right decision. But let's ask the Holy Spirit as well to really inspire them at this time.
Yes.
And also that whatever move is, whatever does happen, that it will increase the joy, the happiness, and above all, the holiness of the Jakeson family.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Julie. Now, we've just had a text in. You have started something, Julie. Do you realize this? We've had a text from our good friend Luke, Luke in Fairhope. Good morning to you, Luke. Hope your work is going well this morning. And Luke is asking for prayers for his mother-in-law so she can sell her house in Arkansas and move to Fairhope to be with him and his family.
How wonderful.
So Julie, as I say, you've started something now. Everybody's praying for their relatives to move. And we are delighted, Luke, to join Julie and I to join with you this morning and to pray for your mother-in-law that she's able to sell her house in Arkansas and move to the great state of Alabama down into Fairhope, where there'll be much rejoicing with Luke and his family. Luke, you've often texted the show with many requests, always asking for prayers for other people. And I'd like also to include in this decade you and all your intentions, both your professional work needs, but also your family needs. So I'd like to lift you and your family up and ask God to shower blessings on you this day. And soon that your mother-in-law, there'll be a knock on the door, you'll open it, and there she stands, suitcase in hand, saying, "Luke, I've come to stay," or words to that effect. Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Julie. So for this third decade, I'm turning again to you, Julie, and asking, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Well, I have two prayer partners, Louise and Jerry. And Louise, we've prayed for all along. She had heart surgery in April, and it was a tough road, but she listened to Divine Mercy every day and all the prayers that we've prayed for her. And this is for Thanksgiving. I met with her on Wednesday, and she said, "Please, a prayer for Thanksgiving. I'm feeling like my old self." So very grateful for that.
But just before we get to Jerry, that is wonderful, Julie. Louise, if you're listening, we praise God with you for this. You know, we are so glad that we were able to assist through our prayers to help to get you back to where you need to be. And with Julie and myself this morning, we are praising God with you and saying thank you, Lord, for taking care of Louise. Wonderful, Julie. What about Jerry? How's he?
Jerry is she.
Jerry, forgive me.
That's
sorry,
okay.
Forgive me.
We're still praying for Jerry and her daughter and husband to continue healing. We'll continue on with prayers.
Okay. Well, Jerry, if you're listening, you have a very good friend in Julie, and we are lifting you up now in a particular and special way during this decade for all your family's needs at this time. Okay, so Louise, thanksgiving, and Jerry, ongoing prayers and ongoing supplications. We're storming heaven together, Julie, hoping to release Jerry from whatever it is that holds her from going there. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very, very much, Julie. Okay, I believe, Reid, that we have some intentions from St. Lawrence.
We sure do.
Let's have them.
It's from the Seven Sorrows Rosary Group. And the first one is from Pam Aist, who is, of course, one of our prayer partners here.
That's right.
And she's asking for prayers for her cousin Jan and Jan's son Eric, who are both having serious health issues.
Wonderful. Good morning to you, Pam. And they are on board. We're praying for them.
And then the rest of the intentions from the Seven Sorrows group is for all those who are dealing with addiction. To pray for Brittany, who is suffering from serious neurological issues. And to pray for humility for David's son, Danny.
Okay, so we pray for young Danny, whatever that issue is. Danny, we're praying for you, praying for humility. It's never easy, humility. You know? It's the hardest thing. Pride is easy. Humility isn't. So we're praying, Danny, that you have an extra dollop of humility today. Brittany, we're praying for you, praying that whatever that situation is, that the Lord will help you with it, that the Holy Spirit, the great physician, will come into that situation and help you like no other. And all those dealing with addictions, whatever that addiction is, physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever, we will be praying that those bonds of bondage will be broken by the great liberator, which is our Lord and Savior. Anything else, Reed, from St. Lawrence?
That's it for now, Kevin.
Okay. Well, let's also pray for everybody at St. Lawrence. We pray for the pastors and the congregation there. And while we're at it, I suppose we can pray for all the priests and all religious and the bishop, the Archbishop of Mobile Archdiocese. We pray for everybody who is entrusted to look after the people in the parish, people in the diocese. We pray that your ministry will not only be fruitful, but that it will be leading you and your flock to heaven through holiness.
Kevin, I would love to throw Todd Sylvester and any other church groundskeepers onto that heap, please.
Okay. Throwing them onto the heap sounds a little bit like we're about to ignite something. But Todd, absolutely, we pray for you and anybody else who's looking after the churches, especially in light of what we were looking at yesterday, Reed, that church out in Hawaii. And in the next decade, we'll be remembering Hawaii. But I think that's enough for this decade. We've got St. Lawrence covered.
Kevin.
And we've got...
Kevin, can we pray for Christ the King also?
Of course.
My daughter Cindy texted me this morning, and today is their first full day, and so they're all anxious about it. I'd like to pray for all of the students, all of the teachers, all of the staff, and that they have a wonderful year.
Absolutely. So today is the day, Julie, is it?
Yes.
Christ the King restarts.
Yep. Whole day.
On its mission.
Yep.
Wow. Is it both teachers and students today,
yes,
or is it just the teachers?
It's both teachers and students. They had a half a day yesterday, full day today, and our Cindy will be teaching kindergarten this year. So excited about that.
Well, let's pray especially for Cindy. We'll pray for everybody at Christ the King, of course. We'll pray for all the schools across Alabama, Catholic schools in particular. We'll pray for all the teachers and all the students. But let's lift up Cindy in particular. Cindy, if you're listening to this probably on encore presentation because you're working at the moment, your mother has very kindly brought you to us. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for the great vocation of being a Catholic teacher. It's a wonderful vocation which resonates for many, many, many years in the lives of many, many children. So we ask that you be a great, great blessing to them in their lives. So let's pray for all of that. St. Lawrence, everybody there, and everybody we ask to pray for, everybody at Christ the King School, and everybody who's looking after church grounds and keeping it all beautiful. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Julie. Now, believe it or not, Julie, we have come to the fifth and final decade of this wonderful prayer that we pray together. I will come back to you in a moment, Julie, for the final word, as our prayer warriors have. So if you could just have a little think about who or what you would like us to pray for. We have some people to remember, though, during this time. We're praying for the walking wounded, Jennifer Romano, and Mary Thompson, both of whom are recovering from injuries to do with the foot or the leg. So Jennifer and Mary, we remember you especially today and hope that your recovery is going speedily and well. Today, I've had the usual request to pray for this anonymous who is dealing with a legal issue that's been hanging over his head for 5 years, and he is asking for our prayers for the Lord to be merciful to him in that. So, anonymous, we remember you again today. And also, we pray for Antonio. Antonio is a man with 6 children. And a beautiful wife, and he has recently been diagnosed with a brain tumor. But we started praying for him. It was at his request, and the prognosis has improved a little. Now, I don't want to get too excited, but it's improved a little. So, Antonio, we continue to pray for you, and we continue to ask God to work a miracle in your life. Why not? We've got nothing else except beg for a miracle. And also prayers for Javier, who has a number of health conditions and is asked for our prayers. As well as that, we've had a number of texts in. We've had Jared, good morning to you, texting the show. And Jared is asking for, Maria is asking for prayers for her husband, Jared, who will be healed of an internal tear he is suffering from and currently he is bleeding from. So in the name of the Lord, Maria, we are asking, begging, pleading that that bleeding stop today, here and now, and that both you and your husband are relieved from this pain at this time. So we're praying very much for you this morning, Maria, and thank you very much for getting in touch. I've also had a request from Kirsten. Kirsten is asking us to pray for her son, who is looking for his first home. Kristen, we are very, very happy to pray for that. She says, God lead him on his path. She says, I listen every day. Thank you. Anyway, Kristen, thank you so much for your message, and thank you very much for listening every day. And we will definitely pray for your son, and we will put him in the, I tell you what, we're going to put him in a twofold charge. We're going to ask St. Joseph to look after him, but we're also going to ask the Archangel Raphael to lead him to the right place. Because you probably know from your Bible, Kristen, that the Archangel Raphael led the little Tobias to where he needed to go. And not only did he lead him to his home, he also led him to his wife. So let's pray for all of that this morning. Kristen, thank you so much for getting in touch with us today. Okay, final word comes to you, Julie.
I would like continue prayers for my cousin Gloria Jean, who lives in New Jersey. That's where I'm from. Gloria Jean was diagnosed with breast cancer. She had surgery. She's gone through all the chemo, which has been a trying time. She is now in radiation, and next week will be the end of the radiation, and we will know at that point how her healing is going.
Well, I tell you what, Julie. I mean, if you feel moved next week, I'd be very happy to pray next week for Gloria Jean all week, so that everything goes well and that the results are what we need and what we want. Why don't we do that? Why don't we adopt Gloria Jean next week and pray for her for the whole week? And by Friday next week, please God, we will be celebrating about what has happened.
Okay, will do.
The only thing is you're going to have to remind me Monday, because I'll have completely forgotten everything by Monday. Well, so text the show or get Sherry to let us know.
Yeah,
and we will keep Gloria Jean.
I'll get Sherry to do it. Yeah.
Listen, Sherry is totally dependable, totally reliable. So that's a wonderful call. Gloria Jean, we're going to pray for you. Be at peace. We're going to pray for you. Is there anything else, Julie, in this fifth and final decade?
Well, I also would like to pray for marriages that are going through some difficult times right now, that they just call upon our Lord to be with them and pray.
Amen. Amen. And let's ask our Lady and St. Joseph as well to intercede for any troubled marriages, any difficult marriages, whatever stage they're at. We ask that the Holy Spirit come into that situation, and whatever's needed, Lord, you know it, come into those situations. Absolutely. Let's pray for marriages. And let's pray for anybody, Julie, who's getting married this weekend, who's entering into that holy state.
Yes.
Amen. All right. And I'd also like in this fifth decade to pray for you, Julie. You haven't asked for any prayers, but I'd like to pray for you. Whatever your needs are, you don't have to voice them. Whatever the Lord knows in your heart that you need today, I ask that he be merciful to you and bless you, just as you have blessed many people by coming in and praying for them today here live on air.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I
trust. Oh, my Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, my Jesus. Trust in you. Oh, my Jesus.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Julie, thank you so much for coming in and praying with me today. It's been an absolute privilege and a pleasure.
It's been wonderful for me, Kevin. Thank you very much.
I hope you have a wonderful day, whatever you get up to, and I hope that God blesses you in some way today.
Thank you.
Okay, when we come back, we are going to be continuing our story time. We are seeking out the lost Ark of the Covenant. But perhaps it's not so lost after all. Perhaps it's been sitting in plain sight all this time. All will be revealed in the next segment. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
In order to achieve your financial goals, you need more than just a bank. You need a banker. Someone with the tools and the experience to get you to where you want to go. Hi, I'm Jennifer Crosby, branch manager for Bryant Bank in Mobile, and I'm here to tell you that is who we are. Focused on your individual needs and committed to success through strong personal relationships. And that's exactly what you can expect from us. Call or stop by one of our offices in Baldwin County or Mobile and experience unbeatable service and legendary results. Bryant Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Dr. Norman McCrumman on Knowing Our Identity in Christ.
For those of us who have been baptized, for those of us who have made our profession of faith, for those of us who desire to follow Christ Jesus, we ought to know who we are at the deepest level, which is a child of God, a brother or sister of Jesus Christ. That is our true identity.
LA Catholic Morning, weekdays at 7 a.m. on Archangel Radio.
If we understood more deeply what's happening at Mass, we can pray the Mass more completely, like that full conscious active participation. And as we pray more deeply the Mass, we live more deeply the mystery of who we are in Jesus.
Learn more about the mystery of the Mass by listening daily to Archangel Radio.
A person is courageous who does something many times and is able to do that which he can't do unless he practiced it many times.
Charlie Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It's so good to have your company this Thursday morning, as always, here live and exclusive. So, after the last 30 minutes, I think we're all feeling a lot better. Don't you agree, Reid? I mean, 30 minutes doing the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Is there anything you'd rather want to do at 9 a.m. Central Time?
There isn't, Kevin. It's really just been a spring of joy and grace around here, I think.
I think it has. I mean, it was wonderful to hear Julie speak about Louise and how much, you know, she felt our support. And then she wants to give thanks. I mean, that's an answer to a prayer, right?
Certainly. I mean, if even one person is truly, you know, feeling that they're in a much improved place due to that, then I really think it's been a success. And, you know, we've had a few people who have gotten back to us and said that they consider our prayers a success.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. If just one person benefited from it, even if they just felt somebody was praying for them and that was enough, that would have been enough for this little mission that we were on to try to help people. And if anybody has discovered the Divine Mercy Chaplet through this, then we are doubly blessed and very, very grateful that we were able to just help you, induct you into this wonderful prayer, which will help you in your darkest hour often. Great. Okay, well, I suppose we better find out where this ark is. I keep alluding to finding it, and I don't want to be one of those people who is accused of trailing people around. But before we do story time, Reid, I have to say I was going to include some things today, but they are just so outlandish. If you go and look online, the number of videos of people discovering the ark is legion. But an awful lot of them seem to be discovering it in the United States. Were you aware of this?
I did not know that, and really, I don't see how that would be possible, but I suppose it could have been transported there.
There's a man in Ohio is convinced he has it, and there's another one out in Arizona, and so on and so forth. I tell you what, this ark gets around.
From you know, the Middle East to Arizona is quite a trek, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how it goes underwater as well. That's incredible.
Or flies.
Or flies, exactly. Well, look, let's go story time and find out here live on Archangel Radio where the Ark really is. So the last couple of days we've been basing our researches on a wonderful book called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary, Unveiling the Mother of the Messiah by Brant Pitre, who is a professor over in Louisiana, and he writes on biblical issues. Catholic author, and very, very interesting what he has written. Now, so far we've looked at how his faith was demolished and then how it came back because of his biblical studies, in particular because of his studies of the Old Testament. And that led us to where we are now, which is looking we were talking just Reid and I a moment ago about how many people are looking for the Ark of the Covenant, and they're looking all over the place. There's people looking in Ireland, people looking in the United States, people looking in Ethiopia, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm going to play you a short video of one of the most ridiculous. Well, let's play this short video, which will just sum up, in a way, some of the more outlandish searches that have been undertaken in history looking for this incredible Ark of the Covenant.
Welcome back, history enthusiasts. Today we're diving into a mysterious chapter of Adolf Hitler's life that you may not have heard about. Join us as we explore Hitler's secret search in Tibet and the intriguing question, did he find the Ark of the Covenant? Let's get started. Our story begins in the early 1940s as World War II raged on. Rumors circulated that Hitler had a fascination with ancient artifacts and sought supernatural powers to aid his cause. Some believe that he sent an expedition to Tibet, a land shrouded in mysticism, in search of the legendary Ark of the Covenant. Legend has it that the Ark of the Covenant, an ancient biblical artifact, possessed immense power and was said to grant invincibility to those who possessed it. Hitler, driven by his obsession with ancient relics, believed that harnessing this power could turn the tide of the war in his favor. While historical evidence of Hitler's expedition to Tibet remains scarce, some accounts suggest that a small team of Nazi researchers, accompanied by Tibetan guides, ventured deep into the Himalayas. Their mission, to uncover the hidden secrets of the Ark. As they trekked through treacherous terrain, facing harsh weather and unknown dangers, the team encountered ancient monasteries and wise Tibetan monks who guarded ancient knowledge. It is said that these monks possessed wisdom passed down through generations, holding the key to unlocking the Ark's secrets. But did Hitler's team succeed in finding the Ark of the Covenant? The truth remains elusive. Some theories suggest that they discovered a hidden chamber deep within a Tibetan monastery, containing artifacts of immense power. Could this have been the Ark? However, without concrete evidence, we can only speculate. The truth may forever be lost to history, buried beneath the mountains of Tibet. What we do know is that Hitler's fascination with ancient relics and his relentless pursuit of power led him down a path of darkness. The story of his secret search in Tibet serves as a reminder of the length some will go to in their quest for dominance. As we reflect on this mysterious chapter, let us remember the importance of preserving history and learning from the mistakes of the past. That's all for today, folks. If you enjoyed this...
Thank you so much. I don't know where they get the voiceover artist for that. He's very, very good, isn't he? I mean, he's sort of so dramatic. Now, there is some truth in that. Hitler did send Nazi Germany sent off a party to Tibet. I'm not sure they were looking for the Ark, though. Contrary to what that brief history, they had all sorts of crazy ethno researches that they were doing, Nazi Germany, and the Tibetans, they thought, had some sort of secret knowledge. You know, the Nazis were obsessed with the occult. But isn't it interesting? We started with the Tibetan Buddhist monks, and now they have the Ark, along with the Irish and the Americans. Everybody seems to have a piece of this Ark. This Ark is unbelievable in its traveling. So let's go back and find out a little bit about the Ark. First of all, if you go back to the book of Exodus in your Bible, the second book of the Bible, you will discover the building of the Ark. And the Ark was built by Moses, instructed by God. And first and foremost, the Ark was the tabernacle, I guess. And the tabernacle is the place where God is dwelling on earth. And you can immediately see, us Catholics can immediately start to see a resonance with what we have today, tabernacles in our churches, where we have God resting with us in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. I'm not going to go into all the various constructions, though they are interesting. This book is very, very good at explaining some of the sort of maybe hidden meanings behind this. So the fact that they were made of a certain type of wood. Remember that the Ark of the Covenant contained the commandments. It contained the manna. Well, it would go on to contain the manna and also the rod of Aaron. These is all set out in the New Testament, not the Old. There is reference to this in the Old Testament, but it's confirmed in the New, in the letter to the Hebrews. It was made of what's termed incorruptible wood, as you can imagine, something which is going to be holy and sacred. They're doing their best to make it that sort of thing. And then it was overlaid, covered in pure gold. and finally the ark and the tabernacle together are deemed to be the place where the glory, or what's known as the cloud in the Old Testament, the glory of God, would descend from heaven. So that was what it was. And as you know, it traveled with the children of Israel all the way through the deserts. Now, if you go to Mass today and they're reading, they're using the readings of today in the Mass, you will hear the Ark of the Covenant mentioned. But it's not in the book of Exodus. It's in the book of Joshua. Because you probably remember that we heard during the week, if anybody had gone to Mass, that Moses died on Mount Nebo. Do you remember? He wasn't allowed to enter into the Promised Land because he struck the rock twice. Do you remember? So he died, and he appointed, or anointed is a better expression, Joshua as the leader of the children of Israel. So Joshua was the commander that would lead the children of Israel into the Promised Land, and they would have to cross the Jordan to do so. So today in the reading, we hear about how the priests, the Levites, carry the Ark of the Covenant, and then they stand in the Jordan with the Ark, and that stops the water flowing, and the children of Israel are able to enter into the Promised Land. Now, you can imagine that there's all sorts of symbolism, theological reality, which is presented in that one moment of entering into the Promised Land, and we may come back to that at a future date. But I just want to continue with the Ark, because the Ark then goes into the Promised Land with the children of Israel. However, it has a rather sort of varied history after that. It's kept at various local sanctuaries in places like Gilgad and Shiloh and Bethel. But at one point, the Ark is captured by the Philistines. Do you remember the Philistines that are always fighting with the Israelites? And it's taken off by them, but then they realize that this Ark, in their presence in the Philistine camp, is causing all sorts of problems. So they're quite happy to get rid of it, get it back to Israel. They realize there is something mysterious about this Ark, and they shouldn't have it. So off it goes back to Israel. And you probably know that ultimately the Ark is brought to Jerusalem by David. Do you remember the scene where David is dancing in front of the Ark as it is brought into Jerusalem? He dances so much that his then wife says that he is making a scene of himself. He's making a fool of himself in front of everyone. But he doesn't care. He is so ecstatic that the Ark is coming into Jerusalem. And then it comes into Jerusalem, and eventually when Solomon builds the temple, it becomes part of that. But as we know, things do not go very smoothly for the children of Israel, and there are various invasions. There's the Assyrians who destroy the northern kingdom, and ultimately the Babylonians come and they destroy everything and they take away the Ark. Or that's what is alleged happened. Now, there's another aspect of the Ark which only Catholics really understand, which is that the Ark is referred to in the book of Maccabees. Just trying to find the reference here. The Maccabees, as you know, is a book which the Catholics hold as something which is canonical. So it's part of Holy Scripture. And They say that Jeremiah received an oracle, and they ordered that the tent and the ark should follow with him. And basically, to save the ark from being captured by the Babylonians, they go and they bury it in the hill country outside Jerusalem. So it's kind of buried there and hid there. And there's a kind of prophetic statement from Jeremiah, which is recorded in 2 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 4 to 8. And it goes as follows. The place shall be unknown until God gathers his people together and shows his mercy. And then the Lord will disclose these things, and the glory of the Lord and the cloud will appear as they were shown in the case of Moses. So it gets more interesting, doesn't it? The Babylonians come and they take away a lot of the gold and the silver, as is recorded in Scripture, and they decimate the temple. But according to Jeremiah, who was the prophet at the time that the Babylonians attacked, he said that the ark was taken off and hidden near Mount Nebo, which those of you who have been listening will know that Mount Nebo is where Moses died. Interesting. Now, very quickly, because we're going to run out of time again. I don't wish to. That's where it sort of lies. Now, the Book of the Maccabees is a couple of hundred years before our Lord's appearance, right? Roughly 150 years or so before our Lord appears, before our God became man in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there are all sorts of allusions to the Ark of the Covenant in the life of our Blessed Mother. So, for example, if I were to say to you some of the things that happen, so for example, the Annunciation, we know that the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary, the power of the Most High overshadows her. Do you remember? Do you remember that passage in Luke chapter 1:35? Well, guess what happens in the Ark of the Covenant? The glory of the Lord and the cloud cover the tabernacle containing the Ark and overshadow them. So can you see in Exodus 40 how this is sort of replicated in the life of Our Lady? Remember, Jews would know that we're reading this, would immediately pick up on that idea of overshadowing, that a spirit of God is overshadowing. They would immediately get the connection. But it gets more interesting. Do you remember Mary went off to the hill country of Judea to visit Elizabeth? Do you remember the archangel Gabriel told her that her kinswoman Elizabeth was now with child? So what did Mary do? She arose and went to the hill country. Well, do you remember I told you that David went to find the ark to bring it into Jerusalem? Well, guess where he went? The Bible actually uses exactly the same terminology. It says he arose and went to the hill country of Judea. Now, do you remember when Mary arrives at the house of Elizabeth and Zechariah? Elizabeth admits her unworthiness. And what was her unworthiness? Not so much about Mary, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Well, guess what? Whenever David is receiving the ark into Jerusalem, what does he say? He again admits his unworthiness and he says, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? And you remember I told you that David's wife complained that he was jumping around and making a fool of himself. He was so ecstatic with joy. David leaped before the ark as it was brought in, shouting. Do you remember? Well, what happened when Mary arrived at Elizabeth's? The child in the womb, John the Baptist, he leaped. That's what the scriptures say. And Elizabeth cried out with a loud shout. And you remember that I told you that David went to the hill country of Judea to fetch the ark? Do you know how long the ark had been in the hill country of Judea? It had been at the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And how long did Mary stay in the Elizabeth's house? That's right, 3 months. Can you see already how we're beginning to understand where the Ark of the Covenant may be? But it gets better than that. You might say, well, that's all sort of a historical allusion to something that happened, but it doesn't tell us where the Ark is now. Or does it? You see, the Gospel of Luke is not the only New Testament book that forges a link between Mary and the Ark of the Covenant. I wonder if you can guess where else. Something similar takes place in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse of St. John. Don't you remember John's famous vision of the woman clothed with the sun in chapter 12? There are solid reasons for concluding that that image is of Our Lady and also the church. I mean, there's a kind of, it can be both at the same time. There's no problem. There's no difficulty with that. But if you were to open your Bibles and read chapter 12, as often we do. We see it talking about a great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out in her pangs of birth in anguish for delivery. Do you remember? You know this, right? You know this bit. But here's the thing. Most of us read chapter 12. Just a little footnote before I give the conclusion to this, and it's this. Remember, the Bible was not originally written in chapters and verses. Okay? Chapters and verses came a lot later. It was a scribe in the early medieval period that decided to divide up the Bible into chapters and verses, and that's what we have to this day. Now, in Jewish times, in the times of the Second Temple, in the times that our Lord lived, there would have been no such verses and chapters, and certainly with the early Christians, there was no such understanding. They would have had scrolls or codexes, and they would have just read the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and so on. They wouldn't have had chapter 1, chapter 2, that sort of differentiation. Not at all. And this is important, because many of us start at chapter 12, when in fact, the real start is the chapter before. Revelation chapter 11, and the very last verse, verse 19. And it goes like this. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared within his temple. And there were flashings of lightning, voices, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. And a great portent appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. Now, do you see, as I read that without the break, without the chapter break, the appearance of God's temple being opened in the heavens is part of the great portent that appeared, which is a woman clothed with the sun. And can you see that that verse specifically says that when the heavens opened, the Ark of the Covenant appeared? Both the Ark and the woman appear to be in the heavenly temple. So, I suppose the conclusion to this, and I think it's a fair one, is that the Ark of the Covenant is Our Lady. And it's something that anybody who has prayed the Litany of Loreto will know. She's referred to it in that as the Ark of the Covenant. So all these people traveling to Tibet, Arizona, Ohio, Ireland, Ethiopia, looking for the Ark of the Covenant, maybe they're on the wrong search. Just as the destruction of the temple in 70 AD was because we have a new temple, which is our Lord. He is the temple. And if you read again the book of Revelations, you will see this new temple, this new Jerusalem that's being created, because it's a heavenly Jerusalem. Well, in the same way, we have a heavenly Ark of the Covenant now. And like our friend Brandt, who had to go back to the Old Testament to understand the New Testament and also its meaning for us today, so too, in reading this book and understanding this, I very, very clearly see that the Ark of the Covenant is very, very clear and in plain sight. It is no less than our Mother. You see, she became the dwelling place of God on earth. Do you remember that passage in Matthew's Gospel? Emmanuel, God is dwelling with us. And what was the Ark? The Ark was God dwelling with the children of Israel. Now, I could go on and talk about all the other analogies that there are with it, but it's just to give you a start on this. Scriptures, true scriptures, old and new, lead us to the truth. They don't lead us away from the truth. They don't lead us to not love Our Lady. In fact, they lead us to love her more. So we should have no fear, none whatsoever, in happily saying, Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, pray for us.
All right, Kevin, I was getting a little worried that it would be like Indiana Jones and we would keep on searching for the Ark of the Covenant but never find it.
Well, I hope it was worth it, Reed. We got there at the end.
That's really incredible. And I mean, from a Catholic perspective, they're really, you know, it seems to be the most probable scenario that Our Lady is the Ark of the Covenant. That makes perfect sense.
Well, just don't take it from me. Lots of saints, if you go back far enough, a lot of the church fathers have alluded to this, but I was just bringing it up to date. Absolutely. Nothing
Excellent.
To fear on that score.
Well, what do we have to wrap up the week?
Well, we have our good friend, Dr. Amal Marugi, popping in, and she's going to give us some life coaching tips to both our audience and especially for anybody maybe working on the show who's looking for career opportunities.
Excellent.
Asking for a friend.
Well, I'm excited to hear from Dr. Amal.
Good. Well, listen, I hope you've enjoyed listening to us today. We've really enjoyed serving you on the Good Ship Archangel Radio, and we will be doing it all again, same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love, and until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you. We'll be right back.